بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله على آله وصحبه ومن اتبع هداه، أما بعد، تكلم الإمام البربهاري بعد ذلك عما يكون للعبد في قبره، وهذه مرة معنا أنه يجب الإيمان بما يكون في القبر من ثلاثة أمور: فتنة القبر، عذاب القبر، ونعيم القبر. وقوله هنا: ويعرف الميت الزائر إذا أتاه، مر معنا أن الموتى لا يسمعون إلا فيما ورد فيه النص، ولا يثبت في سماع الأموات لزوارهم شيء في السنة، ليس فيه دليل صحيح. نعم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم، أما بعد. Continuing with this tremendous book, the book of Imam al-Barbahari رحمه الله تعالى, and this point that we are continuing with, or starting with rather, is the point that the servant, we previously discussed it, speaking about some of the affairs that will take place to the servant in their grave. And as we previously studied, that this topic entails the belief in three affairs. The belief in three affairs. The first, the trial of the grave. The trials of the grave. And the questioning of the grave. The second, the punishments of the grave. And the third, the bliss or the rewards that take place in the grave. As for the statement of the author, rahimahullah, and the deceased, they recognize or they know those who visit them, then as we have studied previously, that the deceased do not hear what goes on outside of their grave, except for the affairs that have been affirmed in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As for the deceased knowing those or hearing those who visit them, then nothing has been affirmed authentically in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
وذكر أن الشر والخير بقضاء الله وقدره، وهذا أيضا مر معنا الإيمان بقضاء الله وقدره.
And then the author رحمه الله تعالى, he began discussing that the evil affairs and also good that take place in this dunya are all from the divine decree of Allah سبحانه وتعالى. And we have already discussed this point in the previous lesson.
وكذلك الإيمان بكلام الله عز وجل، وأن من كلامه كلامه لموسى، وأن موسى سمع كلام الله عز وجل، بخلاف المعتزلة الذين يقولون إن الله خلق الكلام في الشجرة وتكلمت الشجرة، بل المتكلم هو الله عز وجل، وكلم الله موسى تكليما.
The next point connected to the fear of the speech of Allah سبحانه وتعالى, and that from the speech of Allah is the speech of Allah to Prophet Musa alayhi salam, and that Musa heard this speech from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is in opposition to the claims and the belief of the Mu'tazila, who claim that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this speech inside of the tree, and then the tree is the one that spoke of the speech. No, but rather, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the verse, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا, and Allah spoke to Musa with audible speech.
قال والعقل مولود أعطي كل إنسان من العقل ما أراد الله. وذكر للناس يتفاوتون في العقل، وهذا فيه الرد على الفلاسفة الذين يقولون ويزعمون أن العقل هو الله، وأن من أسماء الله العقل، عقل الفعال، وأن هناك عقلا مدبرا لهذا الكون. هذا كله من الكفر بالله سبحانه وتعالى.
The next point, the Sheikh, the author rahimahullah ta'ala, discussing the affair of the intellect, that the child or that the individual is born with an intellect, and that the people that they fluctuate in their intellects. And in this point is a refutation to the falasifa, to the philosophers, who claim that the intellect of the person is that which controls the affairs, and from them are those who even claim that the intellect itself is from the names of Allah. And they say that al-aql al-fa'al, that the active, complete mind or intellect is the one that controls in reality the affair of this life and whatnot. So in this point is a refutation to them in this false claim.
وأما قوله وليس العقل باكتساب العقل عقلان كما قال ابن القيم عقل غريزة وهذا هو الأساس وعقل مكتسب ومن العقل ما يكون مكتسبا والعقل المكتسب هو يتعلم الإنسان العلم ويزداد فيه ويقرأ وكلاهما مرتبط بعضهم ببعض.
And now on the same point, speaking about the topic of the intellect, the Shaykh began to explain that the intellect in reality is, or is broken down, as mentioned by Imam Ibn Qayyim, to two categories. The intellect that the person is born with, or they have from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in them. And then the second is the intellect in which they gain. And they gain this from learning and reading and researching and whatnot. And these are the two types of intellect that the person has.
ثم ذكر أن فضل الله عز وجل على عباده بأن يفاوت بعضهم ببعض بالدرجات وفي العلم وفي المنزلة وهذا عدل منه سبحانه وتعالى وليس بظلم. الله عز وجل فضل المؤمنين على الكافرين والطائعين على العاصين وهكذا كما قال تعالى تلك الرسل فضلنا بعضهم على بعض.
And then the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, speaks about the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the creation. And in that favor is that from them that they fluctuate also in their intellects. And this is from the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has raised some over others and given virtue and station in some over others. As you find in the affair of those who have knowledge in opposition to those who do not have knowledge. And as you find in regards to the believers over the disbelievers, and the people of knowledge over the general people, and above them all the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, such are the messengers, we have given virtue to them, and given virtue to them, some of them, over others, meaning over other prophets, showing that all of this is from the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
وتحريم الغش عليهم وتحريم غشهم وهذا كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام الدين النصيحة وقال من غشنا فليس منا هذه من أخلاق المسلم أن يكون ناصحا في دينه وناصحا للمسلمين ومن النصح للمسلمين أن إذا باع لم يغش وإذا تعامل لم يغش وهكذا من غش فليس منا.
The next point, speaking about the obligation of being sincere with the Muslims, being sincere with the believers and honest to them and not cheating them. You find the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioning ad-din an-nasiha, that the religion is built upon sincere advice for a purpose. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, whoever cheats us is not from us. So from the etiquette of the Muslim is that he is someone who is sincere with he's sincere in his religion and also sincere and honest when dealing with the fellow Muslims. So the Muslim, when they buy and they sell, they're honest. They do not cheat the people. And similarly, in their general dealings, that the Muslim is someone who is honest and they're not someone that cheats the people.
ثم ذكر من صفات الله عز وجل أنه سميع بصير وأن يداه مبسوطتان وأن علمه واسع يعلم ما يفعل الخلق قبل أن يفعل وأن الله سبحانه وتعالى كتب ما يعمله الخلق قبل أن يخلق السماوات والأرض بخمسين ألف سنة. نعم.
And then in this point he mentioned some of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah is the all-hearing and the all-seeing, and that his hands are مبسوطة, that they are extended, always spending. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has knowledge of the affairs of what the creation do before they do it. And that the decree of Allah, this affair, has been written 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth.
ثم قال في إثبات البشارة عند الموت، وأن أنها ثلاث: يقال أبشر لصاحب الإيمان بالجنة، وأبشر يا عدو الله بالنار، وكذلك أبشر يا عبد الله بالجنة بعد الإسلام. وذكر أن هذا قول ابن عباس. والبشارة للمؤمن وللكافر عند الموت ورد قوله تعالى: إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا تتنزل عليهم الملائكة ألا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا وأبشروا بالجنة التي كنتم توعدون. كذلك قوله: يا أيتها النفس المطمئنة. وقوله: ولو ترى إذ الظالمون في غمرات الموت والملائكة باسطوا أيديهم أخرجوا أنفسهم. وأيضا في حديث البراء الطويل، لما يأخذ الله روح المؤمن قال فيه: يا أيتها النفس المطمئنة أخرجي إلى مغفرة من الله ورضوان. هذه بشارة. وفي الكافر والفاجر يقال: أخرجي إلى غضب من الله وسقط وسخط. نعم.
This next point, speaking about affirming the glad tidings, or affirming the tidings that will take place at the death. And it refers to three affairs. First, for the person of Iman, that is said to the person of faith, of belief in Allah Azza wa Jal, glad tidings, O believer with paradise. And as for the second, evil tidings, or to O enemy of Allah with the hellfire. And then the third, glad tidings, O servant of Allah with paradise, after entering into Al-Islam. And this has been narrated, this wording has been narrated by or from Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And we find evidence for this affair also in the Quran. From these verses is the verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala: إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ. Indeed, those who say our Lord is Allah. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. And then they are upright. That at the time of their death, the angels will descend to them, to the Nazar alayhim al-Malaika, أَلَّا تَخَافُوا. Do not be afraid, and do not be saddened, and glad tidings of paradise that you were promised. And similarly, the verse of Allah: يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّةُ. O soul that is at ease, إِرْجِعِ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ. Return back to your Lord, رَاضِيَةً مَرْضِيَةً. And also from these verses, and this verse is in regards to the disbelievers and oppressors, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ تَرَى الظَّالِمُونَ. And if you were to see the oppressors while they're in the agony of death, exit, evil soul, from this body. And similarly, you find in the hadith of Al-Bara ibn Azib, the long hadith of Al-Bara ibn Azib, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam discussed the stages of the human being, the believer and also the disbeliever, at the time of death. That when death comes to them, how the angels come to the believer and his soul leaves from his body with ease, and the angel says to this individual glad tidings of goodness and whatnot. And also, similarly, you find in the same hadith in regards to the disbeliever at the time of death, that the angel comes to this individual and they yank the soul out of the body, and it informs them of where they're going, of misery and pain and whatnot, to the end of this hadith.
قال: واعلم ان اول من ينظر الى الله تعالى في الجنه الاضراء ثم الرجال ثم النساء باعين رؤوسهم. هذا في اثبات الرؤيه، ومر معنا الادله على ان المؤمنين يرون ربهم يوم القيامة. وقوله هنا أن أول من ينظر إلى الله هم الأضراء، يعني الأعمى. هذا ورد عن الحسن البصري رحمه الله، قال: أول من ينظر إلى وجه الرب تبارك وتعالى الأعمى. لكن هذا يحتاج إلى دليل، وليس فيه دليل عن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام، وإنما يرى الناس الله سبحانه وتعالى بحسب أعمالهم، بحسب أعماله. وهذا مما أجمع عليه أهل العلم. الإمام أحمد رحمه الله يقول: من قال إن الله لا يرى في الآخرة فقد كفر. من قال إن الله لا يرى في الآخرة فقد كفر. نعم.
And then the author رحمه الله تعالى, he began discussing a topic connected to the رؤية of Allah, that the believer seeing their Lord in the hereafter. And he mentioned that the first of these individuals, or the first of the believers to see their Lord in paradise, will be the blind. That they will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with their eyes. This has been narrated, that the blind will see Allah first. Has been narrated by or from Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah. He's from the Tabi'een. And Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah, it's been narrated from him. This type of statement, it needs a evidence and a proof from the Qur'an and the Sunnah. So this is not something that is submitted to. But rather what is correct is that we affirm that the believers will see their Lord, and their those who will see him first and the best of them will be depending upon their deeds in this life. And this is from the affairs that the Muslims are agreed upon, that the seeing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter is based upon the excellency of their deeds. And that Imam Ahmed rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, whoever claims that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not be seen in the hereafter, فَقَدْ كَفَرْ, then indeed he has disbelieved.
ثم تكلم رحمه الله عن خطورة علم الكلام وأنه بدعة وضلالة ويجر إلى الكفر والزندقة, وهذا مما اتفق عليه السلف. يقول القاضي أبو يوسف: من طلب الدين بالكلام تزندق. وقال الإمام أحمد رحمه الله: لا يفلح صاحب كلام أبدا. مر معنا قول الشافعي أنه يستحب أن يضرب بالجريد والنعال ويفضح في الأسواق. فأكثر ما ضل من ضل من أئمة الفرق ومن أهل البدع وأهل الكلام ودخولهم في هذا العلم وتركهم لكتاب الله وسنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, لذلك سموا بأهل الكلام. حتى أن الغزالي نفسه متأثر بهم يقول: أشد الناس حيرة عند الموت أهل الكلام.
And then the author rahimahullah ta'ala, he went on to discuss the dangers of ilm al-kalam, the danger of the sciences of rhetoric that the philosophers would not rely upon, and that it is an innovation of misguidance, and it leads to disbelief in Allah Azza wa Jalla and heresy. And this is something that the salaf of this nation, the early generations of this nation, are agreed upon, right? And Al-Qadi Abu Yusuf rahimahullah, he mentioned, whoever seeks their religion, whoever seeks learning their religion through ilm al-kalam, through the sciences of rhetoric, tazandaq, he'll become a heretic. And Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned, لا يفلح صاحب الكلام أبدا. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, he mentioned, the person of al-kalam, of this rhetoric, will never ever be successful. And we have studied and we have heard more than once the statement of Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, where he mentioned that my ruling upon these type of individuals is that they should be dragged through the streets and they should be beat with the branches of the palm trees due to what they are upon of evil. And you find that the reason that many of these misguided sects that we see from in this nation, they have went astray because they dwell into ilm al-kalam, the sciences of rhetoric. And you find Al-Ghazali, Muhammad Al-Ghazali, was from those who were affected by al-kalam. He was affected by this. And he himself, he said that the most severe people in confusion at the time of death are the people of rhetoric.
ثم ذكر وجوب الإيمان بالنار وما فيها من العذاب وأنواعه من السلاسل والأغلال, وهذا ورد في القرآن: إن الأغلال في أعناقهم, إذ الأغلال في أعناقهم والسلاسل يسحبون, وكذلك أن النار في جوفهم وفوقهم وتحتهم, لهم من فوقهم ظلل من النار ومن تحتهم. ثم ذكر قول الجهمية, وهو أن الكافر يعذب عند النار وليس بالنار, وهذا قريب من قول الأشاعرة بما يسمونه الكسب, ففيه نفي الأسباب ونفي العلة, وهذا من الضلال عند الأشاعرة والجهمية. يقولون إنه يحترق الورق عند النار وليس بالنار، وهذا مما يخالف العقل والشرع لما فيه من نفي السبب. والصحيح أن هشام الفوطي هذا من كبار المعتزلة، والصحيح أن الأسباب لا يغلى فيها ولا تلغى، بل يكون العبد فيها وسط، لا تلغى ولا نغلو في هذه الأسباب فنعتمد عليها.
And then the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, he went on to discuss the topic of the obligation and believing in the hellfire. The obligation of believing in the hellfire and what it has therein of torment and punishment from the various chains and punishments that are in the hellfire. Due to the verses of Allah Azza wa Jalla that we find in the Quran. For example, إِذِ الْأَغْلَالُ فِي أَعْنَاقِهِمْ وَالسَّلَاسِلُ يُسْحَبُونَ. And the verse of Allah, لَهُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ ظُلَلٌ مِنَ النَّارِ وَمِنْ تَحْتِهِمْ ظُلَلٌ. And the various verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this topic. And then the author, he went on to refute the statement of the Jahmiyyah, where they claim that the individual, the kafir, is not punished inside of the hellfire, but they say he is punished by the hellfire. And this is similar to the statement of the Asha'ira. These are two sects from the misguided sects. This is similar to their statement where they claim, and the claim of nafyul asbab, they negate reasons. They negate the reasons and the wisdom behind affairs. They negate this affair. And due to this, they say that the individual, that they are burnt near the fire and not inside of the fire. And this is the statement of a man by the name of Hisham al-Fawti, who was from Kibar al-Mu'tazila. He was from the heads of the Mu'tazili sect. And what is correct is that the individual that, as in Ahlul Sunnah, we do not go to extremes in relying upon the reasons, nor do we go to the other extreme and negate reasons in totality. But rather we are in the middle.
ثم ذكر وجوب الصلاة وأنها خمس صلوات وأنه لا يزاد عليها ولا ينقص منها وتؤدى في مواقيتها إلا إذا كان مسافرا إنه يجوز قصر الصلاة الرباعية. وقال أن من زاد أو نقص في عدد الركعات فقد ابتدع، وهذه بدعة كفرية، أن فيها إنكار ما هو معلوم من الدين بالضرورة وهو عدد ركعات الصلوات. وإن نسي شيئا من هذه الصلاة فإنه كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: من نسي صلاة أو نام عنها فكفارتها أن يصليها إذا ذكرها، فكفارتها أن يصليها إذا ذكرها. نعم.
The next point is connected to the obligation of the prayer, and that it is five obligatory prayers, and that we do not increase upon that number in the obligation, nor do we subtract from it, and that their times are set. The times for these five daily prayers are set, except for, as we know, the traveler, then he is allowed to combine the prayers, and he is allowed to shorten the prayers that consist of four raka'at. So whoever increases or decreases from these obligatory prayers in obligation, then he has fell into an innovation, and this innovation is an innovation that takes the person outside of the fold of the religion. This innovation is an innovation that takes the person outside of the fold of al-Islam, because he has disbelieved and denied an affair which is known as ma'lumun min ad-din bid-darura, from the affairs that are known from the religion, and the affairs that are necessarily known from the religion. The individual, they must know these affairs, and denying that is a form of disbelief. As for the individual who forgets something from the prayers, or he oversleeps, then as we find in a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever forgets to make a prayer or they oversleep,
then the expiation for this is that they pray the prayer and there is no other expiation for it besides this.
قال والزكاة من الذهب والفضة والتمر والحبوب والدواب الدواب يعني الأنعام التي هي تجب فيها الزكاة شروطها. قال فإن قسمها يعني بنفسه دون إعطاها لولي الأمر فجائز، وإن أعطاها للإمام الذي يجمعها فهذا جائز، وكله تبرأ به الذمة. وبعض أهل العلم يفصل وهو الصواب أن المال الباطن بمعنى زكاة الذهب والفضة الأفضل أن يتولى هو توزيعها بنفسه ويعطي المستحقين، وأما المال الظاهر وهو زكاة الزروع والأنعام إن كان ولي الأمر يجمعها فالأولى أن تعطى ولي الأمر وهو يؤديها وتبرأ به الذمة سواء أداها في وجوهها أو لم يؤدها في وجوهها، كما قال ابن عمر حتى ولو تمزعوا بها لحوم الكلاب، أنت أديت الواجب الذي عليك، وإن أديتها بنفسك ووزعتها فهذا أيضا جائز.
The next point that the author رحمه الله تعالى move on to discuss is the topic of az-zakah, the obligatory charity that is from gold and silver and dates and al-hubub, the grains, and also the cattle, with the conditions that are known. And if the individual, if the zakat is taken by the Muslim ruler, and he has someone gather the zakat from the people, then that is something allowed. And if the individual himself gives his zakat on his own, that is also something allowed. And some of the scholars, they have placed stipulations or detail in this topic. And this is what is more correct. And that is that the wealth that is not seen, such as gold and silver, the wealth that is inside the home of the person and whatnot, from gold and silver, it is better that the person himself give the zakah himself from that wealth. And as for the wealth that is visible, it is apparent to the people from the farms and from cattle and whatnot, then it is better that the Muslim ruler gathers it if he is the one who gathers it. And this individual, their slate is free. They do not owe anything. Even if the Muslim ruler, or the one in charge, does not go and spend it properly to those who deserve the zakah. As we find in the narration from Abdullah ibn Umar that he mentioned, even if those individuals, meaning the rulers, even if they take the zakah and they feed it to the dogs, this individual, you have freed yourself. So it is allowed that the person give it himself from his own account, or that the Muslim ruler who gathers the zakah, that he goes and allows the ruler to take the zakah from his wealth. Both are permissible.
ثم قال وأول الإسلام الشهادتين، وهذا كقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم بني الإسلام على خمس، أولها الشهادتين. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام فليكن أول ما تدعوهم إليه شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله، وقال أمرت أن أقاتل الناس حتى يشهدوا أن لا إله إلا الله. فالشهادتين هو أول ما يدخل العبد الإسلام.
Then the author رحمه الله تعالى, he went on to mention the next topic, and this point is that the first affair of the religion of al-Islam is the shahada, the testimony of that there's no deity deserving of worship other than Allah. As we find in the hadith of Ibn Umar, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said Islam was built upon five, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he began with the shahadatain. And similarly, in the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam instructed him when he sent him to Yemen, when calling the people to Islam, he said to Mu'adh, and let the first thing you begin with be the call that they worship Allah alone without any partners. And similarly, as we find in a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where he mentioned, I was commanded, meaning by Allah, that I fight the people until they testify or they submit to the testimony that there is none deserving of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
ثم ذكر أن وعد الله لا يخلف وأن ما قال الله سيتحقق، وهذا كما قال تعالى: وعد الله لا يخلف الله وعده. قال: ومن أصدق من الله قيلا. ثم ذكر وجوب الإيمان بالشرائع كلها وأنه لا نفرق بين أوامر الله، ويجب الإيمان بجميع ما قال الله عز وجل: قل آمنا بالله وما أنزل علينا، فلا نفرق بين شرائع الله، فنؤمن ببعض ونكفر ببعض.
And then the author رحمه الله تعالى, the next point discussing the belief that we affirm that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not break his promise, and that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said shall take place. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, وَعِدَ اللَّهِ, the promise of Allah, لَا يُخْلِفُ اللَّهُ وَعِدَهُ, Allah does not break his promise. And this, the verse of Allah, and who is more truthful in speech than Allah. And also the author went on to mention the obligation of believing in all of the legislations and all of that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. It is all from Allah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us in the Quran, say, we have believed in all of that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed.
ثم ذكر أن الأصل فيما يكون في أسواق المسلمين بلدان المسلمين في محلات المسلمين الأصل أنه حلال. حلال الشراء, حلال البيع, إلا ما كان فيه حرام وعلم أن فيه شيء من الحرمة في شروطها كوجود الربا أو الغش أو الجهالة أو عدم الملك أو أن يشرط بعض الشروط الغير الشرعية مخالفة للقرآن والسنة, عند ذلك يكون تنتقل المعاملة من حلال إلى حرام, وإلا فإن الأصل هو الحل بما يكون عند المسلمين.
And then the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, in this point discussing that the origin of that which is present in the marketplaces, in the lands, and in the countries, in the gatherings of the Muslims, is that it is halal. That is the origin. That is permissible to buy and to sell and to eat from, except that in which we are certain of is impermissibility, either in the item itself or perhaps in the conditions along with that transaction. For example, al-riba, types of riba, or يعني al-ghish, cheating or deceit, or al-jahala, يعني a major unknown in the item, is not clear what's being sold, what's being purchased, or that the one who is selling it, he does not own it, nor is he authorized to sell it, or in the sell itself, there's some type of condition that opposes the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if this is the case, then it leaves from the origin of being permissible and it becomes something that is impermissible. But the origin is that which is found in these lands are permissible.
ثم ذكر رحمه الله أن على العبد في عبادته أن يلازم أمرين. الأمر الأول هو الخوف من الله عز وجل, الأمر الثاني هو الرجاء, فيرجو الله ويخاف, ومن خاف رجا, يجمع بينهما. أما الخوف والرجاء ففي قوله تعالى أنهم كانوا يسارعون في الخيرات ويدعوننا رغبا ورهبا, خوفا ورجاء. قال: والذين يؤتون ما آتوا وقلوبهم وجلة, يعمل العبادة ويخاف ألا تتقبل منه. وعلى العبد دائما أن يحسن الظن بربه مع خوفه من الله عز وجل. لا يدخل أحد الجنة برحمته إلا برحمة الله, وجاء في الحديث: لا يموتن أحدكم إلا وهو يحسن الظن بربه. هذان كما قال شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله وابن القيم هما الجناحان الذي لا يطير العبد إلا بهما, جناح الخوف وجناح الرجاء.
The author, rahimahullah ta'ala, he move on to discuss two affairs that must accompany the servant in their worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Two affairs. The first is the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second is having hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whoever has hope in Allah azza wa jal, they must have fear of Him. And whoever has fear of Him must have hope of Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran a verse that joins the mention of these two affairs. إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ. Indeed, they used to hasten in doing good deeds. And they will call upon us with hope and with fear. And similarly, the verse of Allah Azza wa Jal, and those who give what they're going to give, meaning they do these various good deeds, whilst their hearts are trembling, their hearts are fearful. So they do these good deeds, hoping for the reward of Allah Azza wa Jal, whilst they're also fearing Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, recognizing and acknowledging that none will enter into paradise except by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the servant, they do not lose hope. They have good thoughts about their Lord. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he instructed in the hadith, let none of you all die except that he has good thoughts about Allah. And you find that Imam Shaykh al-Sabi ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, and his student Ibn al-Qayyim, that they have mentioned an example or a parable for this affair, that the fear of Allah and the hope in Him are like the two wings of a bird. They're like the two wings of a bird.
ثم قال والإيمان بأن الله أطلع نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم على ما يكون في أمته إلى يوم القيامة. الصواب أن العلم الغيب خاص بالله سبحانه وتعالى، وأن هذا يحتاج إلى دليل. عالم الغيب فلا يظهر على غيبه أحدا. الله عز وجل أوحى بعض ما يكون على هذه الأمة، ما يكون يوم القيامة وأحوالها وما يحصل فيها، ولعل هذا يحمل عليه قول المؤلف هو أطلع الله عز وجل نبيه على ما يكون في أمته من بعض الأحوال وبعض ما يكون من الفتن والملاحم وأشراط الساعة وأحوال يوم القيامة. وأما جميع ذلك فإن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لما ترد أمته على الحوض يرد أناس فيقال له إنك لا تدري ما أحدثوا بعدك. فإذا هذا ليس غيب عام، وإنما وغيب أطلع بعضه للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، وإلا الغيب العام هو لله سبحانه وتعالى.
The next point that the author رحمه الله تعالى discusses is the belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam everything that shall take place in his nation until the day of resurrection. The Shaykh, he went on to comment upon this point, immediately saying, what is correct is that this is referring to specific affairs of the unseen. As for the entire unseen, then this is specific to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Quran, عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ فَلَا يُظْهِرُ عَلَى غَيْبِ أَحَدًا, that it is Allah who is the all-knower of all of the unseen, and none from the creation have seen all of the unseen. But rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam some of the affairs, as we find يعني, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informing of affairs that would take place from the trials of the dunya, and from the signs of the hour, and from the affairs that will take place on the day of resurrection. These are all some of the affairs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with. And with this explanation, perhaps this is what the statement of the author should be understood as, that he is not referring to all of the unseen, because that is for Allah only subhanahu wa ta'ala, but rather referring to various affairs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of that will take place in his nation.
ثم ذكر رحمه الله افتراق الأمم وأنها تفترق إلى 73 فرق، وأن الفرق بدأت والفتن بعد قتل عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه كما وفي حديث حذيفة، وأنه لما قتل عثمان ظهر الخوارج وظهر القدرية وظهر الروافض، وبعده كذلك ظهرت المرجئة والجهمية، صارت الفرق والأحزاب حتى جاءت الدولة العباسية. قال في الطبق الرابع: في خلافة بني فلان، يقصد المأمون، تغير الناس وازداد الظلام، ودخل المعتزلة وعلم الكلام. وإلا قبل المأمون كان المنصور والمهدي وهارون الرشيد يقتلون الزنادقة ويحاربون أهل البدع والضلال. وذكر غربة أهل السنة، وأن من أعظم سبب أسباب ضلال هؤلاء الأحزاب هو طلب الدنيا والمال ورغبتهم في الدنيا. حتى بعد ذلك صار أهل السنة في غربة كما في عهد الإمام أحمد رحمه الله، وحتى هو البربهاري رحمه الله كان في غربة شديدة، لأنه مات وحده، ما صلى عليه إلا واحد من شدة الغربة التي كان فيها، وكان يخاف من العذاب والتعذيب. قال: وأهل السنة غرباء، السنة غريبة. وهذا يعطينا وجوب الثبات على السنة وبذل أسباب الثبات. نعم.
Then the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, in this point, he began to discuss the affair of the differing and the separation of this nation, and that they began to differ into these various sects, or differ into the 73 sects that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed of. And this differing, it began after the killing or the death of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, as we find in the hadith of Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And after the killing of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, these various parties, they begin to arise, beginning with the Khawarij, and then the Qadariya, and then the Rawafid, and then the Murji'a, and then the Jahmiya, until the affair ended up during the time of the Bani al-Abbas, until the leadership of Bani al-Abbas, and such a ruler was in charge, and he's referring to Al-Ma'mun. And Al-Ma'mun, he was the individual that entered, yani this ruler, he was the one that entered the sciences of al-kalam, ilm al-kalam, the science of rhetoric, into the Muslim world. And at this point, this is where the tremendous affair of, or the strength point of the Mu'tazila begin to spread. Because the rulers before al-Ma'mun, from al-Mansur, al-Mahdi, and Harun al-Rashid, they were known that they used to wage war against the people of innovation, and that they would kill the zanadiqa, that they would kill the heretics. But Al-Ma'mun, he was different. And during this time, yani when the Ahlul Kalam began to spread in the Muslim world, the strangeness of the Sunnah became very, very apparent. And the reason that many of these individuals fell into their misguidance was due to them seeking the dunya and seeking wealth. And Ahlul Sunnah became gharib, the likes of Imam Ahmed, or even the likes of the author himself, Al-Barwahari, rahimahullah. It was mentioned that he was very strange, that he died alone, and that only one person prayed over him due to this ghurba that he was in. And he would fear from the punishment and the afflictions of the rulers of during that time. So Ahlul Sunnah, they were the strange people during the times of al-fitna, the times of trials. And all of this speech that we are discussing, it shows the obligation of the people of the Sunnah, that they're firm upon the Sunnah, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
طيب، بقي تقريبا ثلث الكتاب ولا يمكن أن ننهي الكتاب.
There's roughly about a third of the book left, and if, and it's clear there's not enough time to complete the entire book.
طيب، على كل سنأخذ نقاط مما يأتي من كلام الشيخ هكذا سريعا حتى ننهي، لأن كثير من الكلام الذي سيأتي فيه تكرار.
So inshallah ta'ala, what we're going to do is take points from the speech of the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, because يعني in these next upcoming chapters, a lot of the points or a lot of the speech has been repeated from other points. So inshallah, we'll summarize, the Sheikh will summarize many of these points.
نعم هناك مسائل أيضا واضحة لا تحتاج مثل قضية قال متعة النساء والاستحلال كانت مباح المتعة كانت مباحة والمتعة المقصود بها تزوجها بوقت معلوم ثم يطلقها يتفقون على المدة وهذا كان مباحا في الأول ثم حرم والاستحلال أيضا حرام وهو كما جاء في الحديث لعن الله المحلل والمحلل له نعم والمحلل معروف أن يتفق على أن يتزوجها لأجل أن ترجع لزوجها الأول حصل الاتفاق فهذا عقد باطل.
So now from the points that the Sheikh rahimahullah, the author rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned, the affairs from the affairs that are well known that are haram and permissible is al-mut'a wal-istihlal. Al-mut'a is that a person that they marry a woman with a contract that is temporary, meaning that they have a set time for this marriage. This is something that is haram. In the beginning of al-Islam, it was lawful, and then the revelation was revealed, preventing and making haram this action. So it is haram. And as for al-istihlal, then what is being referred to here is the istihlal of a woman who has been made haram to her previous husband. And that is that the three of them, they agree that a new man will marry this woman and then divorce her so that she can become halal for her previous husband. This is also from the affairs that are haram. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Allah has cursed the one who this action is done for and the one who does this action, referring to al-istihlal.
وذكر فضل بن هاشم وقريش وأهل السنة يقولون إن جنس العرب أفضل من جنس غيرهم ولكن فضيلة الجنس لا تعني فضيلة الأفراد.
And then the author rahimahullah ta'ala, he began speaking about the virtue of Bani Hashim, which is the direct tribe of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the virtue of Quraysh, and then the virtue of the Arab in general over the non-Arab. And this virtue, understand that this virtue is speaking in regards the Arab in a general as a group, not referring to yani each of the individuals, that the virtue is connected to the group of the Arab and not each specific individual.
تكلم عن الجهمية وخطورتهم وأنهم دخلوا وأدخلوا علم الكلام وأخذوا بالرأي وردوا النصوص الشرعية.
And then the author رحمه الله تعالى, he went on to discuss some of the dangers of the Jahmiyyah, the dangers of this sect, and what they did of entering the sciences of rhetoric into the ummah of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم.
وذكر أن القول بالقرآن وأنه مخلوق فإن هذا كفر. قوله بدعة أي بدعة كفرية.
And then he mentioned that the statement, the claim that they made that the speech of Allah is created is an innovation. And this is from the innovations that are known as kufriya, that remove a person from the fold of al-Islam.
ثم ذكر أيضا خطورة أهل البدع وكيف أنهم يكيدون على أهل السنة. نعم كما حصل في عهد الإمام أحمد.
And then he began, the author, rahimahullah, to discuss the dangers of the people of innovation and what they do of plotting against the people of the sunnah. As we find in history, what took place in the story of Al-Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah ta'ala.
وذكر أيضا أن من أسباب انتشار البدع هو كلام الجهال ودخولهم في الفتن حتى يميلون مع كل أحد. وهذا كما هو مشاهد الآن كثرة وسائل التواصل. هم أجرعاء تكلمون في كل شيء وأيضا علماء السوء وأصحاب الطمع أيضا من أسباب الضلال والانحراف.
And then the author rahimahullah ta'ala began to discuss that from the reasons or the causes of the spread of innovation is the speaking of those who are ignorant, that they begin to enter themselves into affairs above their levels and they speak without knowledge, and you see that it causes great harm, as we see today with what goes on with a lot of social media platforms and whatnot. And similarly also from those reasons of the spreading of innovation are the evil scholars and what they call to a falsehood and innovation.
وذكر فضل أهل السنة وأن الله عز وجل يبقيهم إلى أن يأتي أمر الله وهم ظاهرون. نعم.
And then the author, رحمه الله تعالى, he begins speaking about the virtues of the people of the Sunnah, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall preserve them until the ending of time, until the affair, until the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes.
وذكر أن العلم ليس بكثرة الرواية والكتب, إنما هو بالعمل والخشية. إن العلم الصحيح هو الذي يورث العمل, كما قال ابن مسعود, ليس العلم بكثرة الرواية ولكن العلم الخشية.
And then the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, he began to discuss or to mention that knowledge is not determined by a person memorizing a lot or narrating a lot or having a lot of books, but rather knowledge is that knowledge that affects the person's fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and it brings about actions. And he mentioned the athar of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where he said that knowledge is not kathratu riwayah. It's not that a person just memorizes and they narrate a lot, but rather it is al-khashya, this fear of Allah that is accompanied with true knowledge.
تكلم عن خطورة القول على الله بغير علم والأخذ بالرأي وجوب اتباع السنة والجماعة, وأنه من اتبع السنة فقد استراح في دنياه وآخرته.
And then the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, began discussing the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned the dangers of speaking about Allah without knowledge. The dangers of speaking upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without knowledge.
نعم وجوب اتباع السنة والأخذ بها, وأن من سلكها نجح واستراح في دنياه وآخرته.
And the obligation of the person following the Sunnah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not delving into the sciences of rhetoric, and that this individual that truly follows the Sunnah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, will be at ease in this life and in their akhirah, in the hereafter.
وذكر حصول الفتن بعد قتل عثمان رضي الله تعالى عنه. انتشار البدع وأن الواجب هو التمسك بالسنة.
And then the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned the trials and tribulations that begin to arise after the killing of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu and the spread of innovations. And again, emphasizing the importance of following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
وبين أن أصول البدع أربعة ثم تشعبت إلى 73. هذا في خلاف بين أهل العلم في التعداد, وذكر بعضهم أن الأصول الأربعة هي الروافض, الخوارج, القدرية والمرجئة, ثم تفرقت البدع إلى 73 فرقة.
And then the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, he began to discuss a topic that is mentioned by some of the scholars, and that is that the origins of innovation return back to four innovations. And again, the Sheikh, he emphasized that this has been mentioned by some of the scholars, that the origin of innovations return back to four innovations, and then all of the 73 sects were built upon those innovations. They mentioned that those four innovations were first the innovation of the Khawarij, and then the innovation of the Rawafid, and then the innovation of the Qadariyah, and then fourthly the innovations of the Murji'ah.
ثم تكلم عن وجوب الاتباع والحذر من البدع والأخذ بما في كتابه ويقصد بما فيه من الأدلة مما دل عليه القرآن والسنة.
And then the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, in this chapter gives a tremendous emphasis upon following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and holding on to what is found in his book. And what is meant by that is that which is the truth which is found in his book. So he intended by that which we find of truth in this book, hold on to it.
وقال وأقل من النظر في النجوم, هنا التحريم النظر في علم النجوم الذي هو الاعتقاد بتأثير النجوم على ما في الأرض, فهذا علم التأثير وهو محرم.
And then the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, he makes mention of the prohibition of the sciences of astrology, where they claim that what takes place from the stars and celestial bodies have an effect upon what takes place upon the earth. And so the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions that this is from yani, the affairs that lead a person outside of Islam, and it's something that is haram. The study of these celestial bodies claiming that they affect what takes place upon earth.
ذكر أن من فضائل الصحابة وهذا مر معنا هو عدم الخوف فيما حصل بينهم من الفتن.
And then he discusses in these chapters the virtues of the companions and that none of us should speak in an evil fashion about what took place amongst them of disagreements.
وذكر هنا أن المكاسب مطلقة وهو الكلام هنا أن البيع والشراء والمعاملات يعني الأصل فيها الجواز إلا ما ظهر فساده ودل الأمر على حرمته.
And then in this chapter or these points, the author rahimahullah ta'ala, he's speaking about buying and selling, and that the origin is that with the Muslims they buy and they sell is permissible in origin, that they are allowed to buy and to sell.
ذكر من فضائل أبي بكر وعمر ودفنهما مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في حجرة عائشة أنه لا يجوز إنكار ذلك.
And then he began, the author rahimahullah, to mention in these points the virtues of Abu Bakr and Umar, and that they were buried with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the same location inside of the home of our mother Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and that as Muslims we do not deny this.
وذكر وجوب صلاة الجمعة والصلاة في المساجد وأنه لا تترك إلا لعذر.
And then he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, the obligation of praying the Jum'ah prayer and also the congregational prayers inside of the masajid, and that we do not abandon the masajid except with a legislated excuse.
ثم ذكر رحمه الله الصلاة خلف الإمام والأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر وجوب الستر على أهل الإسلام. نعم.
And then the author rahimahullah ta'ala, in these points he discusses the prayer behind the leader of the Muslims and the commanding with the good and prohibiting the evil, and that we are to hide the faults of the Muslims.
وذكر أن من أصول الباطلة للروافض الباطنية والصوفية وأنهم يقسمون العلم إلى علم ظاهر وباطن ويريدون بذلك إبطال النقل والشرح وإبطال ظواهر النصوص وتأويلها على عقولهم ومراداتهم واعتقاداتهم.
And then the author rahimahullah ta'ala, in these next points he began with a very important topic, and that is the speech about some of the fundamentals that are present with the rawafidh and the batiniyya and the sufiyya, and that is their claim that the text of the religion, that it has two meanings. You have the apparent meaning and you have the hidden meaning. And they claim that these hidden meanings, or their reason for claiming these hidden meanings, is so that they're able to negate what Allah and His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam have legislated upon the people and bring about their own explanations to these meanings.
وذكر أن المرأة إذا وهبت نفسها لرجل فإنها لا تحل له. بمعنى أنه قال يعاقبان إن نال منها شيئا. بمعنى أن نكاح الهبة تأتي مرأة تهب نفسها للرجل فيقول قبلت أو أخذتك، هذا خاص بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، لأن النكاح لا يصح إلا بولي وشاهدي عدل. لكن إن أمنت الفتنة وعرضت نفسها لرجل صالح مع صدق النية وأمن الفتنة يجوز ذلك، ولكنها لا تحل له تنكح نكاحا العادي وهو بولي وشاهدي عدل.
And then the author rahimahullah ta'ala, he discusses in this point the topic of a woman gifting herself in marriage to a man, and that this is not allowed, and that if the man had any type of intimacy with her, then he is punished for that. But rather, what is legislated is that every marriage must have the legal guardian and also the two witnesses and the dowry. But as for a woman coming and offering herself in marriage and a man accepting, then this is specific to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So as for the next point, which is if a woman, she is sincere to Allah azza wa jal, and there is no fear of trial or tribulations, and she goes and she presents the topic of marrying herself to a man, then this is allowed, but the man must go and now marry her with the wali, the guardian, and the two witnesses, and the dowry.
ثم ذكر من حقوق الصحابة عدم الطعن فيهم، وأن من طعن في أحد من أصحاب رسول الله هذا قول صاحب سوء وهوى، ويجب عدم الخوف فيما وقع بينهم من القتال. نعم.
And then the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, in these points, he speaks about some of the rights of the companions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with all of them. And that from their rights is that the Muslim does not attack them or attack their honor whatsoever, and that they do not mention any of their faults or disagreements that may have taken place between them. And whoever you find that does that, then indeed he is an evil individual.
ثم ذكر من حقوق السلطان أداء الصلوات خلفه إذا كان هو المتولي للصلاة، وكذلك الدعاء له بالمعروف، وأن من علامة صاحب الهوى أن يدعو على ولاة أمره.
And then the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, in this point, he discusses some of the rights of the Muslim ruler. And from those rights is that we pray the salah behind the Muslim ruler. If he is the one that leads the salah in the Muslim nation, then we do not abandon the salah behind him. And from his rights also, the Muslim ruler, is that we make dua for him. And that if you find, or rather from the signs of the people of misguidance, is that you find them making dua against the Muslim rulers.
وكذلك ذكر من الحقوق الصحابة حقوق أمهات المؤمنين، وأننا نعتقد أن أزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وأزواجه أمهاته. نعم.
And from the rights of the Sahaba that the author he went on to mention in these following points is also the rights of the mothers of the believers, the wives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we believe a belief, a firm belief, that they are the mothers of the believers, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has titled them in the Quran.
وهنا ذكر أيضا من الأمور أنه إذا رأيت الرجل يطعن في أهل السنة ويسميهم مشبهة فاعلم أنه على ضلال. الطعن في أهل السنة أو علامة أهل البدع الوقيعة في أهل الأثر.
And then the author رحمه الله تعالى in these points he mentions an affair connected to the people of the Sunnah, that if you see from the people those who attack the people of the Sunnah and they call them mushabbiha, as you found in the past, because Ahl al-Sunnah would affirm the attributes of Allah, they will call them resemblers. If you see a man that does things like this, then know that he is an evil individual, and that from the signs of the people of innovation is their attacks against the people of the Sunnah.
وذكر أن على صاحب السنة أن يحب علماء السنة ويحب الصحابة، وأن هذا من علامات أهل السنة، وذكر جملة من أئمة السنة.
And then the author رحمه الله تعالى he mentioned that from the signs of the person of the Sunnah is the love that he has for the scholars of the religion and the love that he has for the Sahaba, for the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And then the author himself he went on to mention a group of these scholars.
وذكر أيضا وهذه نقطة مهمة أن الأهواء كلها تجتمع على السيف وعلى الخروج على ولي الأمر.
And then the author رحمه الله تعالى in this point he mentioned a very very important affair, and that is that we find that the various people of desire and the desires that they have that they unite upon the sword, meaning against the Muslims.
وذكر أنه يجب على العبد أن يحذر من أهل البدع، أن يحذر من صاحب البدعة، وليعلم أن ما أظهره من بدعته فما أخفاه أكثر وأكثر.
And then the author rahimahullah ta'ala in this point he discusses the obligation of a person being cautious from the people of innovation, and that which is manifest from their innovations that we should recognize that that which is hidden from their innovations are a lot more.
وذكر أن الجلوس مع أصحاب البدع أخطر من الجلوس على مع أهل المعاصي، أن أهل المعاصي يتوبون، أما أصحاب البدع فإنهم يضرونك ويغيرون فكرك ومذهبك وعقيدتك.
And then the author rahimahullah ta'ala he discusses in this point the dangers of sitting with the people of innovation and how they are more dangerous than sitting with the people of sins, because generally the people of sins they repent and they're remorseful, and as for the people of innovation then generally they do not repent. And sitting with them has a danger upon your religion, for they affect your religion, they try to change it and whatnot, and they distort what you have of good.
ثم ذكر رحمه الله وجوب معرفة من تجالس، وأن لا تصحب إلا صاحب سنة، وأن تبتعد عن أهل البدع والأهواء، وأنك إذا رأيت الرجل يذكر أسماء أهل البدع ويحيل عليهم فيجب عليك الحذر منه.
And then the author rahimahullah ta'ala continuing in this point in regards to people of innovation, that you should know who you sit with, who are you sitting with, and who are you accompanying. And if you see that a person is from those that direct you to the people of innovation, then be cautious of him and avoid his likes.
وذكر المحنة في الإسلام أنها بدعة وأما اليوم فيمتحن بالسنة والمقصود أنك تمتحن هذا الرجل في مذهبه في من يصاحب من يجالس ما رأيه في كذا من هذه المسائل المشتهرة عند أهل البدع أن هذا العلم دين فانظروا عمن تأخذون دينكم.
And then the author rahimahullah ta'ala in this point he discusses that it is impermissible to test the people with innovation. This is innovation. But rather the people they are tested and they are questioned in regards to the affairs of the sunnah. These topics that are widely spread and widely known amongst the people of the sunnah, the person they are tested with that so you can recognize who they are. So the affairs that are widely spread and widely known and agreed upon by all the scholars of the sunnah, then these are the topics that the person is questioned and they're judged based upon.
ثم حذر من الكلام كما سبق وذكر الوصية بالأثر واتباع الأثر والسير على هدي الصحابة رضي الله عنهم.
And then the author رحمه الله he warned again against علم الكلام, the sciences of rhetoric, and the emphasis with following the athar, the narrations of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and the Salaf, and treading upon that path.
ثم ذكر جملة من الآثار بالتحذير من مجادلة أهل البدع والجلوس معهم.
And then the author, rahimahullah, he mentioned a group of narrations alluding to the impermissibility of arguing with the people of innovation and sitting with them.
وذكر أيضا وجوب الشهادة للعشرة المبشرين بالجنة.
And then he mentioned the obligation of testifying and affirming that the 10 of the best companions we find in the hadith of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are all in paradise.
وأن عثمان قتل مظلوما.
And that Uthman was killed oppressively.
وأنه لا تعين أحدا على معصية الله ويجب الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر.
And he mentions the impermissibility of aiding anyone in disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the obligation of commanding with the good and forbidding the evil.
وجوب التوبة إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى من جميع الذنوب والخطايا.
And the obligation of repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from all sins and mistakes.
ذكر آثار في التمسك بالسنة كان ابن عون يقول عند الموت السنة السنة وإياكم البدع حتى مات.
And then he began to mention the author rahimahullah gathering some of the narrations connected to following the sunnah. From those narrations was a narration of Abdullah ibn Aun that he said at his time of death advising the people as sunnah meaning follow the sunnah warning them against innovation until he died.
وقال الفضيل بن عياض لا تجلس مع صاحب بدعة فإني أخاف أن تنزل عليك اللعنة.
And then he mentioned the athar of Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad, where he said, do not sit with the people of innovation, for indeed I fear that the curse of Allah shall be sent down upon you.
بهذا بحمد الله مررنا على مسائل الكتاب كلها. نسأل الله عز وجل لنا ولكم العلم النافع والعمل الصالح. الله أعلم صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وجزاكم الله خيرا.
And with this, alhamdulillah, we'll be able to cover all of the topics of this book. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for beneficial knowledge and righteous deeds. وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم جزاكم الله خيراً.